celebrating success, learning from legends, and growing poppies. This is Tall Poppy Talk with Grace Lewis.
Kia ora and welcome to Tall Poppy Talk. Today we have Rachel Lancaster. She is a self-taught artist with over 10 years of experience specializing in custom creations. So these masterpieces range from original freehand canvas art pieces to major murals, furniture, clothing. There doesn't seem to be a surface too big or a crevice too complicated that Rachel cannot make magic in. Art is personality, and her pieces are vibrant, they're bold, and there's a confident inclusion of color. From Canada, Rachel has shared her creations online and seen an exponential rise in the community following her art process. With well over 500,000 followers across Instagram and TikTok alone, you can certainly say that Rachel is inspiring others and adding the content creator expert to her niche as well. Finally, Rachel prioritizes giving back and supporting others, whether that is through charity partnerships such as Make-A-Wish or within her own family, which is so important. And it is such a treat to welcome you today, Rachel, to Tall Poppy Talk. My first question is, where and how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for asking. I'm in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, in my cold, cold basement. I'm doing good. How are you?
Thank you for asking. I'm doing good. I was taken aback before we started recording when you said it's negative, what, 26 degrees?
Yeah. Minus 26 Celsius, yeah.
And like, I know that Canada is so beautiful and there's these vistas and there's a good, all this other great stuff, but the cold, like, is that something one can ever truly get used to?
I don't think so. I took my daughter, she's four, took her skating this morning and like in a rink, but still to get there, I was like, we're like, okay, put your hands in your pockets, put your head down, run. Cause like you can get frostbite immediately. Right. So you're like, dig in, put your head down, run. So no, I don't think you can get used to it. We're always cold.
No. And with what you do, like I mentioned, you really do create these masterpieces, and they are in all sorts. Like they could be outside, which right now I hope you're not doing, because you cannot paint in those conditions. It'd be impossible. But one question I like to begin with is, have you seen these memes? And it's like, what my friends think I do, what my parents think I do, what my whoever think I do, and then what I actually do. So it's like, for you as this artist, there are sometimes, whether they're right or wrong, stereotypes or assumptions on what it is that you actually do. So I wanted to ask, what is it that people think you do, and what do you really do?
Oh my God. What do people think I really do? I don't think people have any idea. They have a vague idea. Like, so what I find really cool is, because I do post a lot online, right? Like everything is posted online. Everyone thinks that they know me in like that kind of world, what I put out in, you know, online. So people watch what I do all the time. So they come up to me and they're like, oh, you painted a mural. Like, they think that they know based on the timelines that I've given online, like, oh, I painted this mural in 8 hours. They assume that I was standing at that wall for 8 hours straight painting. So they assume a bunch of things. What I really do is different. Like, I don't paint for that long. Like, I paint for little 4 hour increments, you know, like I don't like to paint for 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours straight. It's a lot of work. It's like a lot of ladder work. I'm alone all the time. But yeah, like what they assume, cause they see it online, is very different from real life. So I don't know. I've gotten a lot of different things. And also people are very fascinated by what I do, but sometimes they're too nervous to ask me, so they just kind of assume. So I don't know.
That's exactly why I felt the need to ask it, because especially when you do share stuff online, right, is like people get an insight, but they don't get everything, because part of even when you're, I can imagine the process of creating these murals is you need to pick colors, you need to get the correct materials. There's a lot of preparation that would go into it, so that when you're there, you can really execute, and then post-care production, like all those other things that don't come across in the really cool succinct time-lapse videos that you do.
No.
So if you were to, let's say someone approaches you and says, Rachel, I've got this space, I want to commission you, etc., how do you even begin the process? Like, do you need to go do a recce or like a search on the location? How does that process work?
So I work a lot different from a lot of different mural artists. So I'm not going to speak on everyone else's behalf. My process is very different. So I don't like to know anything about the mural going into it. Not at all. So when a client contacts me, I ask them if it's an indoor-outdoor mural. If it's an indoor mural and it's on drywall, great. No questions asked. I know exactly what to do. If it's an outdoor mural, we do discuss the surface type because brick is different than painting on stucco. That's different than painting on like a smooth, you know, some sort of rock surface. Like it's all, those are very different. And then the preparation work is different. So you need to like prime or sand or like, what does that surface look like? Do I need to like scrape paint off of it before I begin? You know, like there's a little bit more prep. So that outdoor murals are a little bit different, but let's say we're doing an indoor job and it's on a drywall surface, nothing crazy. Then I will ask the parameters of what they like. So, you know, do you like, I give them kind of two different examples of my work. Like I do a pop art style. It's really fun and bold and graphic novel style. Like more like a collage of images. Or do you like a scenic mural that looks like a forest with bunny rabbits and they're all kind of proportionately sized the animals to the trees, you know, and they'll pick whichever one they like better. You know, if a client says, oh, I really like dragons. I love teddy bears and I like the color purple. Then I write that down, book them for whatever date they want. And then I don't think about it at all. I do not plan the mural. I do not think about anything. I arrive at the site and I start painting. So I carry with me every single color in my trunk. I have like bags of whatever I might need. I have all my paint supplies. And so when I arrive at the job, I just bring everything inside and I go over it again with the client. Like I'll just discuss like kind of let's break it down a little bit further. Like what exactly would you like? At first, when I first started, people had a little bit more direction for me. But now that I've been painting for over 15 years and I have a lot of content online, typically people will watch all that content first so they know what they're getting into. And then now lately, people have just been like, no, we just want you to do something. Go for it. And so I just start painting.
Your confidence and the confidence of your customer or clients.
Yeah.
Trusting your process and something that's really unique about what you do too is, and you've advertised or promoted, I guess, like being self-taught. So over 15 years painting, could you please take us back to what inspired you in the first place and how it's been learning and self-teaching?
Yeah. So when I first started painting, okay, so back to when I was a kid, I loved to paint. You know, I drew, that was all normal stuff that I did. Kind of, maybe I was a little bit more creative than the average child. I don't know. I thought I was pretty normal. And then I did take art in high school, but I almost failed. I think I didn't pay attention to anything. So I don't know. I didn't do it that great. And then I graduated and I moved out when I was 17 and I got like an easel in my house. Cause I like a painting easel. I painted one painting and it sat there. So, you know, when I had a party, I'd be like, I painted that one thing. That's it. I never did anymore. I wasn't that kind of, you know, young adult. I went to university. I took human resource management. I thought I could do that. Turns out not great with people. So that doesn't really work for me. So then I worked, a bunch of jobs here and there, and then I ended up doing events. So this really matters to how this all pans out. So I did events. I worked in the event world, special events. I planned events for 500 plus guests. I worked at the University of Manitoba, which is our university. So I planned events that the president attended and like convocation and big things like that. And I loved that job. But the thing with that job is you get a lot of like time off because you work the event, you bank the time, and then you just like have all this time. But you can't take the time off when there's events, which happen at like popular times of the year. So you have like Mondays off. Or like Thursday, like just random days of the week. And you're not going to like hang out with your friends because everyone's working. So I started painting like because I just liked it. And I had all this time off and I would paint like little paintings, whatever. I sold them on it's equivalent to Facebook Marketplace. But back then it was like we have Kijiji. I don't know what you have in Australia, but I'm sure it's a marketplace type thing. I would sell them there, you know, whatever. I opened up a little Facebook page. That was back when Facebook kind of first was taking off and people would like them here and there. And then I was really confident that I could paint. You know, when you're in your, so I was around 22 at this point. And when I was 22, you're like really confident for no apparent reason. You're just like, I could do that. Like, you know, so I had that. So I painted, I was like, I could paint a mural. I think that's what I want to do. I don't know why I went big, but go big or go home, right? So I started, I asked my mom, who she owned a bakery at the time. And I asked my mom if I could paint her a like mural in the bakery. And I did. And it took me 47 hours. And it was like the smallest, like 8 by 8 foot wall. It took forever. And then I was like, that's it. That's beautiful. And so I took a picture of it and I posted it on that Facebook mark. Well, Kijiji. And I said, I'm a mural artist. See, like super bold 20-year-old. I painted one mural. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a mural artist. I could paint for you. And then I got a call from, so we have a place here. It's called Celebrations Dinner Theater. Well, it doesn't exist anymore, but it's a theater. I don't know how to describe it. Like it's a dinner theater, like where people,
okay,
if you were really good at high school theater and then you, maybe you were the top of your class, but you were not a good enough to make it to like be an actor and be famous, but you needed to go to another community theater kind of thing. It's like all of those students ended up at Celebrations, you know, so it's like, I don't know, whatever, yeah. Doesn't matter. So we have, there was three of them in Canada and the sets would travel from one theater to the other. But locally, when the set arrived, that there would be artists that would paint the sets to match the theater. Does that make sense? Like to, sorry.
Yeah.
Paint the surrounding theater to match the set. So the set travels to from theater to theater and then you would just paint it to match so that you, as if you were sitting and you were totally immersed in the experience, right? So like, let's say the set was, the first one I ever got hired to do was more like a Wicked kind of set. And so we painted like all these trees, enchanted trees, like, and then the front, the set that like the actors would be on were like kind of, they were in the moving set with the, all the real looking trees. And then we painted surrounding trees to match, right? Does that mean? And then there was like little animals in the trees and stuff like that. Yeah. So the whole theater, anyways, I got hired. I was like, they called me, they're looking for an artist. And I was like, oh, I don't think I'm at your level. And they said, that's fine. We can train you. So I was like, awesome. And so because I had all the time off from the university, I would like work with them because set changes happen like during the week. And there's like four or five of them a year. And you only had 4 days to paint the set before the actors go in. Right. So they taught me to paint really, really fast. So yeah, that's kind of where I started painting murals. And then I would take pictures of those murals, post them on my little Facebook page. And I would get side jobs here and there. You know, I'd paint them again on my days off or whatever. And I thought I'd do that forever. Like I thought, you know, have this side gig of painting sets or whatever and paint a mural here and there and I'd do events. And I thought that that was it. And then my page on Facebook started to grow. Then Instagram came around, like, cause I'm that old. And so I started growing my Instagram page and just posting things. And then eventually I left, Celebration Center Theater just cause it didn't really work out. I left my job at the university. I got a different events job and like less hours, like 35 hours a week. And then I ended up being over time. I was painting like 40 hours a week, working 35 hours a week. So I was just painting and working and painting and then everything was growing and here I am. I don't know, painting full time. Yeah, like everything kind of grew at this, like slowly with me. And then when you talk about the evolution of my art, I think I wasn't super great when I started, but every year I look at my style, it changes every single, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, my style changes. Like if I go back, I look at some of my old work and I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that again. Like I wish I could do that style again. Cause I don't, every year it changes. Like my work, like people say they can recognize it and that's awesome. But also if you go up close, like I can see that it's changed. Even my most favorite thing to paint, which is flowers, the way I paint flowers has changed. And so I just keep growing. I learn different tricks along the way because I am self-taught, but there's so many things that you couldn't, I don't even think they could teach this, like mural work, the way surfaces react to what you're, like, if I'm painting a big, huge building, like the way a concrete surface and the texture, the way you can work with it, I don't think it can be taught. I think you have to learn that on your own.
Yeah, every year it's different. And I found it so fascinating, the part about needing to paint fast because of the sets. Mm-hmm. And every set was different, but there was some similarity. Like, looking back in hindsight, it's very identifiable how and where strengths grew, but you were just doing it because you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I think often with identity or high performance, I tend to relate things back to athletes, but it's applicable in high performing artists like you are, of it wasn't one day you decided, okay, I'm a full-time artist now and here we go. It, because it naturally grew with you and the passion has stayed, as your skill level has grown and you've become more of a high performer, there's no one day you could probably pinpoint, even though there's probably pivotal moments or pieces that you did where you really grew a lot. It's cool that your identity and your skill set has just naturally and organically grown. And then looking back, you go, ah, that makes sense. But the fact that it's changed too is almost serving as certain artists, singers, their music and their tone, you can hear that they've grown and they've lived through things. So your artwork reflects that too.
Oh, for sure. I can see it. I can see different things that I've learned. Like, if I could go back in time, I'd be like, oh, I wish I knew this technique when I was painting that mural, because like I could have, you know, done this thing differently. But then I think every single mural that I've done is like a little piece of history, right? Because I can't go back and recreate any of that. So I think it's pretty cool. Like, you can kind of see a timeline of things changing. Or even 2 years ago, I refused to paint people. Like, I just didn't paint people's faces in any of my murals. And then I started putting them in, you know, and I can see the way they've grown too. Like the way I do faces and the way I do animals. And yeah, my freehand style is completely different now. I don't know. I think it's cool.
I think it's so cool too, which is why I'm so interested. And something as well that you mentioned, it started with what's the Facebook page or the equivalent called?
Oh, like Kijiji?
Kijiji. Yes, thank you. Kijiji, how it started there and then things grew. Because with the online presence that you have with the content you're creating, that in itself is like a complete part-time, full-time job that you could be doing. But many people do. And you're doing that in addition, sort of like when you first began with the events role and then started the painting. And now the painting's the main thing and the content has become the side, but that's continuing to grow. As you've shared things online, where the inspiration came from, I get it, because it was a bit practical, this is how you communicated with people, but what has the experience been like of many people are just along for the ride? Has that changed anything for you,
like the online experience? I can't. So I'm not an expert in social media. It's like a learn. It feels like I'm just running to keep up. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to do any of this. Okay. Is it 2 years ago? Not even. Okay. 2 years ago, I didn't even have a TikTok page. Okay. Let's just start there. Like, so my husband helps me run my business and he runs the business side of the business. Right. So he like does all the paperwork and he keeps everything afloat. Right. He helps me with quoting and stuff like that. So he does that. And it's up to me to like do the online stuff. Like, I create all the content. He was like, well, you should get onto TikTok because that's a big community. And I was like, yeah, no, I will. I will one day. Like, it's so much, right? Like, I do, my Facebook page grew. So there's like a good amount of followers on Facebook. And I had the Instagram page and I was like, I can do that, you know? And then, but no, we should probably get on TikTok. Okay, fine. So like, then you have to learn the whole app. Like, it's not like you can just like get on TikTok. Like, sure, you open a blank account and then you have to like, then you have to get on it and like learn it. And then you have to see what's trending and what makes sense. You know, like, I look back at my old videos and I'm like, oh my God, no wonder no one was watching those, you know? So I would, you know, I would do the thing where I walk up to a wall and I touch it and then the wall turns into a mural, right? Like, I did that because those were the little videos or whatever, but those are only like 10 second videos, you know? So you have to get up to a minute. You need content. So that's why I started doing time lapse. And then I started doing voiceovers and the voiceovers, don't even get me started. Like, I have to sit there and like, first of all, think of something to talk about that's unique to that video. And then like record it. And I do it in, I record, I don't, again, this is, I think, the way I work this way. A lot of people don't work this way, where people would have to write out a script. I think normally I just hold the phone and hope my brain's working. So I record sentence by sentence, you know, and then I listen to it back and I stumble over my words. So I have to re-record little sentences at a time. That's the way I do it. And then I just hope that the content sounds good. And then I listen to it back and then I'm like, oh, it sounds terrible. Perfect. Post it. Right. Like, so then it's just trying to keep up with what's going on in the world, or like if I can, you know. Yeah, it's just a lot of work. So usually it takes a couple hours in the evening, and I have toddlers, so I like to put them to sleep. That's why I always post my videos at like midnight, you know. Hopefully someone sees it. It's midnight. But yeah, it is what it is. But yes, the evolution of that is wild. It was a lot to learn, and I thought we were, you know, even back when we first started, I had a good following on Facebook. I had a good following on Instagram. I got up to like, you know, past the 10,000 point, which is what everyone wants to get past, because then you become like a, like they provide you different services online, right? Once you get past 10,000, I got all that. And I was proud of myself and I thought that was doing good. And then post go viral, like really viral. And then my page just blew up. Like it was November. Actually, I remember the post going viral that went really, really viral. It had over 100 million views. And it went from my page from, it was November of last year, like probably, so exactly about a month ago, a year and a month ago today, it blew up with that many views. And it's just me and my husband. So he's on my Facebook and my Instagram page as well, and my TikTok page. And we could not keep up. It was the most exhausting time in our entire lives. Plus we have toddlers. We have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So back then it was a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. Anyways, very young. And it was wild. Like it was thousands of messages by the minute. Like we could not keep up. It was wild. So yeah, our page blew up. So the following that I have now is only a fresh following within the last year and a bit. So yeah, it's been quite the ride.
It is quite the ride. It's so, I know I keep saying it, but it is just so interesting and fascinating how things have evolved, and you and your husband, it sounds like, just have embraced it. You're like, okay, we're doing this together, and now we're going to go on TikTok. Because absolutely kudos. TikTok is something, I am the same. I'm in that mindset of, I know I should use it. I know, but I'm so, like, I'm barely holding these things together. And but that reward of learning something, learning a new platform, it is exciting. And just like how your painting evolves, as does your content, because you learn more or trends change. And with all this, you had attention, but the influx of a lot more attention from this viral video, something that motivates me with this podcast is having conversations with high performers like you. I call them tall poppies because there's a social phenomenon in Australia, New Zealand called tall poppy syndrome. And it's where the metaphor is there's the field of poppies, and as a poppy starts to rise, and we chop them down just to bring them back down to our level. And it's a bit of an experience that I think is not unique to anyone. I think we all interact with it in different ways. And even if you're very confident, maybe you've had to develop that confidence from some chopping down. And rather than focus on that negative, I'd rather talk to people like you and say, how have you embraced those feelings of imposter syndrome or external chopping down? How have you kind of gone through it? And spoiler, I understand you probably still sometimes go through it, but all that to say, it's a 2-part question. The first one is, how do you maybe describe imposter syndrome in your world, and then how have you interacted with it?
Imposter syndrome in my world. There are mural artists who have been in the game a lot longer than me. So in my world, when you think of a mural, typically, I don't know about Australia, but in Canada, if you think of a mural for us, you think of like a historical piece on a building that probably represents something that is meaningful to the community, right? So maybe in our, we have a big Indigenous population here. And so maybe it would be, you know, we're like at the intersection of two rivers. So maybe there's like a river and a man on a canoe, and he looks maybe indigenous. Who knows? It's a very historical painting. You could probably imagine it in your head. It's probably like beige. Sorry, I'm not insulting it. I am. It's
No.
sounding like this is coming off as an insult, and it is, but it's not. So part of my imposter syndrome comes from, I don't paint murals like that. That is not my style. I am like a kid from the 90s, and I paint pop art, and like I use every single color you can imagine, and my stuff looks like some of it looks like the doodles that I used to draw in my binders. Like, you know, it's just like fun. Like there's hamburgers and like big cherries or just fun stuff that I remember from my childhood, and super bright colors. And that's, so I don't do this historical pieces, although I can. It's just not my style, and that's not what typically that's not what people reach out to me for. So in my world, I'm like, I'm not there yet because I'm not painting those murals. I'm not, the government doesn't contact me for a historical piece on one of their largest buildings in the city. So I'm not a muralist. Okay. And yet, those people painting those murals don't have the following that I do, and don't have people going, one day I wish I had a Rachel Lancaster mural in my house, right? So, like, I grapple with that a lot. What helps me a lot is my husband is like an analytical thinker. He's a very smart person, and he's like runs the business, and he says to me all the time exactly what I said. Oh, like, who cares, Rachel? We're not after those big jobs anyways. People want Rachel Lancaster art. And I go, oh, okay, thanks. Like, he's very logical, so that helps. So I do struggle with that, and it gets in my head a lot. Like I received a lot less online hate when I had a smaller following, right? You get bigger, people know who you are. People get, I don't know if they're jealous or whatever the situation is. There's just a lot of people online who have negative attitudes or whatever's wrong, who knows? And they're posting negative stuff, or they're these little bot accounts or whatever that can just spew hate for no apparent reason. So the bigger your account gets, the more of that stuff comes at you. How I deal with that is I don't deal with that. I turned off all my notifications. So, whoop. Also, like, I don't get paid for the online stuff, right? So, like, in Canada, we don't, in I think you in Australia too, like, you don't get money for TikTok. Like, I don't get, when my posts go viral on TikTok, it doesn't make me any money. Being on that app doesn't make me a penny. Being on Instagram doesn't make me money. So, like, people who have, then in the state, and they always assume that, especially the following in the States, they assume that I'm making money by from these people. And then if I had responded in the past with like a negative comment, they're like, why do you hate on it so much when you're making, like, that's probably where you can make your money. It's like, no, dude, I paint murals. Like, this has nothing to do. I just post this so that more people can see it, so that maybe they'll hire me. So, no, you know, so like in my brain, I just have to be like, it's not, this isn't like my bread and butter. I'm posting online so that people can see it. If they like it, awesome. If they don't, it makes literally no difference. You want to post a negative comment, maybe that's great because then more views come in, you know, like more interactions, I guess. Let's just look at it that way. Like, it's hard. Like, so I just turned off the comments. Like, it's not like I have to be on there anyways. It makes literally no difference to me. I think more, it's more that people respect than you, when a lot of people follow you, there's a little bit more respect there. So that the jobs come in because it's like, oh, I saw you on Facebook. I saw you on TikTok. Perfect. That's how I want it to be anyways. If you wanted a job from me, you were going to reach out to me anyways, right? So whatever. That's kind of how I deal with it. It's not easy. There are times when the comments get to me or whatever, but I just keep thinking that my style's different and it evolves every year, like I said before. And like, I'm pumped to see what I'm gonna paint in the future, because who knows, right? Like, who knows how I interpret, like, who, I don't know how future me is gonna view the murals that come in. Because like, even me, when I take in a mural, like when I book it, I'm like, oh great, I think of something in my head, but how I think it'll look at that moment. But then that image goes away. And then when I get to the job, another image pops up. So like, it's just whatever happens in the moment. And I'm like, oh, cool. Sometimes I leave a mural and I go, oh, that was way cooler than I thought. Like, it just, new stuff happens. And I think it's cool. Like, I'm excited to see where that takes me. And I'm excited to see the next piece. And I think everyone who follows me is too, right? Like, they're excited that they keep getting different content from me. And like, so that's what helps me with the imposter syndrome, is just like, I mean, no one's in my brain. Like, I can only do what I can do, and no one else can take that from me. So who, I don't know, like, you, and people are like, oh, I could paint that. Go ahead. Like, it came from my head, you know? So I don't know, try it. That's cool. I'd like to see your version of it, you know? And that's what I think is really exciting, is just go, like, everyone else could do it. You think you can paint it? I don't care. Go ahead. Like, there's room for everybody. There's enough walls in this city to keep me busy for the rest of my life. And that's just in my city. Like, every single building has a wall. So go ahead and paint yours. I don't care.
I wouldn't even say refreshing, because I think that is a verbiage that is out there, but your values are so clear and so exciting. And that's why that word exciting keeps coming up, right? Of, if you want to do it, sure, go ahead. There's enough to go around. Like, success isn't a net zero sum game. You can be successful over there and so can I, but don't throw shade. It's just not going to hit you. And I do appreciate that you say sometimes it does, because we're human and we have feelings. But the fact that you have these values of, hey, a lot of people love what I'm doing. It motivates them. It gets me work, which is why you began it. And although that negative feedback loop has grown with the following, that's like, maybe let's say that's like 9-10% of it. That means the other like 90% is growing too. And it's really cool that those are where your values are. And then setting boundaries of, I don't need to read the comments and do that, and I'm not going to. So I think that's a tangible takeaway for listeners too, right? Is having the values. Who do you care about? Putting boundaries when you can to try and minimize that pointless negative energy coming in. And then the thing you said too, which resonates with me, is the excitement of what you're going to do. So with the podcast, I'm like, who am I going to talk to in the future that is only going to maybe be an option because they listened to this episode with Rachel and thought, oh, that's cool, I'd love to talk to Grace too. There's happened a lot where people have listened and then reached out. So with your art, whether they've walked past it and then gone into the store and been like, oh my goodness, who painted that, or they've seen it online, it's just putting more out there to be open to future opportunities and connections.
Yeah. And the, like I always say, like I like you said, you know, maybe there's 10% of negative comments, there's 90% positive. So I do read the comments in the beginning, and I do thank the people for giving them. Once a post starts to go viral, I think, in my opinion, a post that goes viral is like over 1 million. So once a post starts to go viral, like starts to get over 1 million views, then I kind of stop. I turn off the comments. I stop reading the posts or the comments and stuff. But before that, it's usually all positive. So I'm gladly reading those. And those are good confidence boosters. Like, thank you, people like it. That's great. Like, I like to get a vibe of right when I post it, like, okay, this is going well. It's not bad, you know? So I still think I post, I'm like, ooh, I hope people like it, you know? Like, I get nervous, same as everyone else, because sometimes I think my style is very unique, right? So not everyone's going to like everything I do, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to like it, you know, maybe that piece wasn't for you. So that's cool. But yeah, like the beginning of it, I like to monitor and make sure it's doing well. And then, but yeah, the evolution is really cool. And yeah, like I said, there's enough to go around for everyone. People can say that if they're negative, they can say, oh, like, I could have done better or whatever. And I'm like, cool. Like, show me, like, tag me in it. I don't care. I'd like to see your version. Like, oh, that would have looked better if you used the color red. Paint it. Paint it red. Well, I don't know. I just did what my brain told me to do. So, yeah.
The phrase you said there too of, it's not for me, I think the first time I properly heard that was last year watching, I was doing some improv classes and you were watching other people go around and someone said very sincerely, oh, that one's just not for me. And I thought, oh, that's such a nice way to say it, because it is true, right? Like, I didn't like it, but that didn't mean that I actively disliked it. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't made for me. I'm not the audience that was intended for. And so that's cool. I'll go find the one that is made for me.
Yeah.
Oh, just,
Like I, and you never know, like I paint so many things. I'm asked to paint murals, crazy amount of different subject matter, you know? And some of the murals I paint, I'm like, no, I don't really like this. And I'm the one painting it,
But they
you know?
do.
It's just not for me. Like, I did, I'm not a fan of horror, for example, like horror films, and I've painted an entire house. Like the so the entire house is the cra we have the coolest people that live in Winnipeg. I always think if you have a mural in your house, you're probably a really cool person. That's what I think. That's my opinion. You can see I have one, so I must be cool. So I that was really lame. Anyways, I painted this one mural for this couple, and they collect horror film memorabilia. And so I've painted like in their collection room, like it looks like old buildings, like with a brick that's broken down. One section, the whole corner of the room is broken down. You can see a graveyard through the wall. And then there's like an old safe with like bloody handprints. There's rats that run along the bottom. There was a beam like in the top of the ceiling, and I painted it to look like a wood beam with like these, like a crack in it, these creepy, like glowing eyes and stuff. The whole room, I did that. And I'm not a huge fan of horror. And also, they have a room in their basement, like a bathroom, and it is the theme of now I forget the name of him. Okay. He's like a little my husband's listening. Saw. So yeah.
Thank
Thank you, Eric. So he like they have like a severed foot attached to their toilet, and I did jigsaw like coming through the back behind the toilet. I matched the tile from the movie in the whole back of it, and then I put jigsaw and he's coming through. And then I wrote in red paint like want to play a game above the toilet paper roll, and there's like bloody handprints all on the walls. And yeah, they have like a realistic severed foot chained to their toilet. And I remember I was turning around and I was washing the brushes in the sink, and I saw the jigsaw and I just got spooked. I was like, "Ooh, well, this bathroom's not for me." I painted it and I was scared. So, you know, not every single meal is gonna be for you, but
That is such a funny story. Yeah, like you've just painted it and you're like, I need to get out of here.
yeah, I
I
was like,
need to get away from
no,
this.
this is weird. But I loved it, and it did really well online. People love it, and they thought that was really, it was a really well received mural. But again, like, would I paint that in my house? Probably not.
No.
Another really, really popular one that went pretty viral. I painted in a gynecologist's office huge flowers that look like vaginas. And it went so viral. And everyone was like, oh, like calling me a weirdo. And I was like, first of all, this isn't my living room. Like, this is in a
This
gynecologist's office. I think it was very appropriate. But also, like, if you're not a fan of it, hey, this one's not for you. But I had
keep
fun.
scrolling.
Yeah, keep scrolling. That's fine. Every mural is awesome. Like, it's all a new challenge. And that's why I love it. Like, because I never know, like I said, I never know what I'm going to paint. When I get to the wall, I'm like, oh, this is great. This is such a cool job. Pull out the paint and start painting. And then, yeah, every time there's a quote that comes in, like, it's always a new idea. Like, it's always a client that's got some idea that I have to try to execute the best I can. And, like, that's the coolest part about this job. And, like I said, it took years to get here, but like that's the best part about it. So I'm always very excited. Like, who knows what I'm gonna do in the next year? Like, the next year is full of amazing possibilities of like paintings that I couldn't even imagine, because the clients are the ones who give me ideas, right? So it's awesome.
Yeah, then there's always going to be more collab. I like to think of it as your client collaborations because you're doing it, but they're the ones who've sparked that idea. They're the catalyst that grows into something else. That's incredible. Now, I have one sort of vague question before my sign-off question. And this could be hard because I know there's so much you could dive into, but I always like to ask, is there anything I haven't asked you during this that you think I should have, whether that's a story or a question or something you just want to say, bit of an open floor situation.
Not really, but you did mention about other people and like giving them, like, I get asked a lot about like people wanting to do what I do, and how did I get here, and how do I do what you do, kind of thing. Like, I really love art, and I think I just want to pull that back and say, like, I think you said it before, like, I didn't start like drop all my stuff and be like quit the event world and be like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to be a full-time mural artist, having only painted one mural. Like, that's not what happened. Like, everything was so evolved. Like, it took so long. I didn't wake up one day with a social media following and people who liked my, like, that didn't happen overnight. And so to go back to the beginning, like, I started where everyone else starts, with no followers, with like painting in my, I used to live with my now husband, like when he was my boyfriend, I used to live with their, like his parents in the basement. And I had like this little wooden table, and I went to the dollar store. I don't know what you guys have in Australia, but we have a dollar store, and I bought cheap dollar canvas and cheap dollar paint with like little crappy brushes. And I painted like just for the fun of it, just because like I was so bored and I wanted something else to do. And it was really cold. Like I lived in Canada. It was so cold and I didn't want to go outside. And, so that's what I did. I just painted, and I painted every single day for hours and hours and hours. And I painted, like, still to this day, there's, except for the last week that I've had a week off, I usually paint at least 4 to 5 hours a day. And I have been doing that for over a decade. Even if it's on my own or if it's for clients, I paint every single day. And I didn't like sit by the TV and watch a lot of TV, although it was on, you know, like that was my time to like do whatever I wanted before I had kids. I know it's hard when people have kids, but like, I think you can prioritize anything if you really want to do it. And so if it's something that you want to do, and you really want to prioritize that in your life, then start. But it's so hard. Like, you can't just drop it all and say that's what you want to do for a living. Like, it, you have to focus on, you grow it, do what you need to do, but it's going to take you a long time. It took me a long time. It took me, you know, 10, 15 years, and I'm here, and I'm still, it's still growing. Who knows where I'm going to be? But I also branched out to many different other things, because I got nervous. Like, who knows if people, I always think to myself, I don't know if someone's going to buy a mural. Like I always doubt that it'll last forever. Like, now that my husband runs the company and I do this, like, we rely on me painting murals, right? So I always get nervous. Like, what if we can't pay the bills? Cause no one wants to buy a painting or buy a mural. And I get nervous. So I came up with other ideas, you know? So I did a coloring book. And then from coloring books, I started doing custom coloring books for various companies, because someone asked me, hey, do you do custom coloring books? And I was like, yes, I can do that. And I think if you want to grow a business and you want to try something, your answer should always be yes. Like, someone asks me, do you want to, back in the day, I want a wall that looks like brick. And I didn't know how to do that, but my answer was yes. And then I got to the wall and I figured it out, right? Like, someone asks me, you want to paint a car mural? And I say, I've never even seen that car in my entire life, but my answer is yes. And I will figure it out. And that is always my answer for everything. Like, you want to do this? I'll take it. And then from there, it was clothing. Like, I designed a hoodie with one of my paintings on it. And my husband invested, and he's like, yeah, I think we'll just buy a whole line of all of them. So he bought all the colors, or like all the sizes. And I was like, yeah, that's great. And then they got here and I was like, yeah, I'll sell that. I don't know where, you know, but now we have clothing.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure that out. And now we have clothing in Warehouse One. It's a store across Canada. Like, cause just because we had to figure it out, and sometimes I feel pressure till I'm just like, well, I'll just figure that out. Like, I'll just, yep. And so everything that comes at me, we just kind of say yes. And then whatever happens, like there was a time when we bought all the coloring books at the beginning. Like, I made a coloring book. My husband bought 1,000 books. Even though the guy who sold coloring books, like the printing company, was like, well, normally if you're starting out, you buy like 50 to 100 and that's where you go. And my husband's like, well, what's the cost if we do 1,000? And it was way cheaper. So we got 1,000. And then I literally took those coloring books and like pounded the pavement store to store and was like, will you sell my coloring book? And like little stores across Manitoba, like, took my coloring book, you know, until now I've done 9 of them. Like, it just, it's whatever. I get all paranoid and I'm like, oh, how are we going to do it? We need other branches of income. So I just start doing other things. Yeah, now we have coloring books and clothing lines, and we have the list goes on. So yeah.
It does. Thank you. That's such a cool answer. And I'm glad, that's the beauty of that final question sometimes, to pass it over, because those things you said there, not only am I taking away a lot just from hearing that, but I know my listeners are going to as well, of doing things because you enjoy it and saying yes and looking for that next opportunity. And then The key word, I think, for you is exciting, because you're excited of what's to come. You're excited about what's been, what's happening. And that's just such a contagious energy. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And Rachel, my sign off question is completely different, but if you had to listen to just one musical artist for the rest of your life, who's it going to be?
Oh no, I can't do this. Can I just pick podcasts?
Yes.
Yes. Because like, okay, this is a question that I get asked so often, what am I listening to? Because like, I wear headphones in all of my videos, and probably the number one question is, what are you listening to? And to be 100% honest, I have a playlist that I have been listening to for 10 years, like songs, right? Not 10 years, maybe 5 years. But I noticed that, so I paint murals for like 4 to 5 hours a day. And if you listen to the same songs like 4 to 5 hours a day, like you're done your playlist probably by like Wednesday of a week. Like you start on Monday, you're done your playlist. So you listen to the same playlist probably twice in 1 week. And I just can't. I just don't. Yeah. I don't listen to music anymore. I cannot listen. Even if I added songs to that playlist, there's not enough music to like constant. So I only listen to podcasts. I don't think I've listened to music in a really long time. I listen to podcasts. The craziest, like any podcast, I will go back and binge the entire series of podcasts. So I don't know. Now this is hard. Now I have not answered your question. Okay, musical artist.
What?
Eminem.
Or podcast.
Wait.
Oh, okay. Eminem.
If I could listen to one artist, I'd probably listen to Eminem.
Okay.
It's a lot of words.
Right.
Like, I think you and I had discussed this before. I really like the smart list. I like armchair experts. So I like stuff that makes me use my brain.
Yeah.
But then to be quite honest, you ever get in your car and you drive from one place to another and you don't remember how you got there?
Yes.
That ever happened to you? Okay. That's what painting a mural is for me. I arrive at the job. I remember talking to the client and figuring out the gist of the mural. And then the next thing I know, I'm packing up my brushes and I'm done for the day. Okay. I don't remember how I got there, the process that I did it in. Sometimes I watch the time lapse back and I go, oh yeah, no, that makes sense. That's what I would have done. But like, I don't remember it. And so if it's been a really good day, I can get home after listening to 6 hours of podcasts, and I could not tell you a single thing that I've listened to. I don't know it. I don't remember it. I could probably listen to the same episode 4 or 5 times and I don't remember anything. So that is my life. I don't know how my brain works, but it literally shuts off. And I just come to at the end.
And speaking of, we have now come to the end of this podcast, this episode, this interview. And I just want to thank you so much, Rachel, for your enthusiasm, your energy. I'm really excited to continue to follow on. And just thanks for spending an hour of your time, because I know how valuable it is, with me on Tall Poppy Talk today.
Oh, no problem. I had such a good time. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Tall Poppy Talk. We'll see you next time. Feel free to check us out on socials, YouTube, and the website. Thanks for today's guest, and we'll see you all next time. Take care. Be kind.